burgers, brats, cheese curds, ice cream. It's not summer without your list of favorite foods. We are on a Wisconsin food tour here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. In this week's edition of Wisconsin Weekend, we're talking about your traditions with food and drink, those must-have delectables that just make your summer. Do you have recipes that use Wisconsin ingredients, ginseng, cranberries, or Door County cherries? Something else, maybe. Perhaps you step outside your kitchen to find your favorite treat. Tell us about your go-to ice cream or custard or creamery shop. Why is it special? Join this conversation at 800-642-1234. You can also email those tips at ideas@wpr.org. Our guest this morning is Daniel Higgins. He's a food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He covers unique food and drink staples of Wisconsin culture. Dan, it's so good to have you back on the Ideas Network.
That's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
We have to admit, every time we have you back, our team is just reminded of how cool your job is. It's just a neat thing you get to do.
It is neat. I try and take full advantage of it as best I can.
You've written a lot this summer about Wisconsin's best foods and also the traditions that come along with them. Let's start with dessert. That's the natural place that we should start this.
Absolutely.
You experienced some unusual gelato in Door County. We have to know about it.
Yeah, actually, Door County Creamery up there in Sister Bay. And they make their gelato with goat's milk, which, you know, usually you don't think of that. When I think goat cheese or whatever, it's usually a stronger kind of, I don't know what the right word is there, but, and to taste it in gelato, you'd have no idea. I mean, it's the creaminess, it's everything you want from the gelato. They make it in small batches, a lot of different, of flavors, everything, you know, including ones that have chocolate and peanut butter in it, which is just like the top of the, what most people would like in their gelato. You know, I think that's a very popular option as well.
Yeah, goat milk or cheese, it's kind of tangy, and that pans out in the sweets like gelato?
No, it does not. That's what's so surprising about it. It's just got that creaminess, the sweetness, everything. But, you know, they just use, because they've got their own little herd of goats up there, it's just one more way that they use that in their gelato as well as making their cheese. And they make some soap with it, too.
How many flavors did you get?
I think they had six of them out at the time. That was earlier. There's like before the season really ramped up, but I think they've got slots in there for like up to like 12 different flavors at any given time. So,
Dan, I'm not trying to make you pick your favorite child, but you have to tell us which flavor you like the best. It's just the rule.
Of the ones I had, I remember it was like a cashew caramel kind of mixture, which I tend to like anyway, so I just kind of liked what I like for most ice cream flavors, that caramel cashew kind of option.
That sounds fabulous. Ice cream gelato in the morning. We could make that happen.
They do rotate flavors, so if it's not there, don't come looking for me, but because they always have rotating flavors, so there's no guarantee what's going to be there from one day to the next.
Fair disclosure. We recently learned here on The Morning Show that dairy goats are on the rise in Wisconsin beyond gelato. Have you seen that translate into more goat cheese or milk used in these Wisconsin foods?
You know, it is popping up more. I notice it on more menus in terms of options. Even seeing like goat cheese curds pop up more regularly. I think it's becoming a more popular item than it has been the last 5 years or so. It seems like that's becoming more and more mainstream.
And a quick spotlight on the Door County Creamery. That is mostly goat products, right? 130 goats or so on that farm?
That's about right. Yep, that's about right. They do have other cheeses that they work with to find, you know, other cheesemakers that are, you know, kind of the artisan type cheeses. So there is a selection. So if you go up there and you're with someone who's just refuses to even try Goat cheese, you know, there's other cheese selections there as well. And you can put together a little cheese board right in the shop. They've got wine there that you can buy, or beer or whatever, to go with a little cheese board if you want to do that with some friends and kind of hang out there. They also do tours, a tour and lunch. You can go up there, take a little tour of their farm. They'll take you out there because it's like about a mile away from the actual store there. And you do a little tour, do some samples, come back and have a little lunch. So if you want to meet the goats that are so kindly producing the milk for the cheese there.
It's an option. That's great. Dan Higgins is a
That's an
food
option, yep.
and drink reporter. I'm Keely Boltina. We want to know, what's at the top of your list to eat during the summer? What locally grown ingredients do you pick up to add to your recipes or to eat on their own? 800-642-1234. You can also tweet at WPR Mornings. Dan, Cherry Bounce is usually a holiday staple in Wisconsin homes, but you're writing about it in August. Why do you have us thinking holiday drinks when it's still hot outside?
Because you need about 3 to 4 months of those cherries soaking in some sort of mixture of alcohol and sugar to have them ready for the holiday season. So it's kind of this is last call, if you will, for getting your Cherry Bounce going if you want to be sharing that with your holiday cheer this season.
Let's step back then. For people who aren't familiar with Cherry Bounce, describe it for us. How does it work? What do you do with it? How do you make it?
It's a fairly simple process. You get some fresh cherries, and that's the other thing too, is you know, we're kind of in that time of year where the cherries are, you know, you can get them fresh. So you want some tart cherries. Typically the ones that are growing up in Door County are the tart variety. You get those, you add some sugar, and then you add, like, brandy is usually the most popular, though you can try other types of alcohol. I had one person tell me that Fireball actually worked okay. Put it all in a jar, seal it, kind of shake it around, you know, get the sugar to dissolve a little bit, and then you just kind of start in a dark, cool place. And then when the season's sometime around Thanksgiving, a little bit after Thanksgiving, you just strain off the liquid that you have, and usually, you know, serve it in like little cordial glasses. This is not a you don't want a whole big pint of this at once, but, you know, a little cordial glass, and you kind of a sipping kind of wine, or not wine, but cordial, and it takes on that cherry flavor.
And do you do anything with the cherries, or are they really there to infuse the liquid?
No, you can absolutely. Had the people I talked to, you know, had all different kinds of ideas. A couple of guys, they like to put them in Ziplocs and sneak them into the Packers games, and share them with some friends there. Otherwise, use it as a topping on ice cream or however you would. I mean, they're going to be, or, you know, use them as a little garnish with the drink itself. And they are, you know, they're going to be boozy. You know, obviously they're going to soak up some of that alcohol as well.
Yeah. It sounds like it's one of those things, not for those seeking instant gratification. If this is last call and we have to wait months, we're going to have to use our patience here.
Right. Absolutely.
Excellent. It's a food frenzy here on Wisconsin Weekend, and we need to know, how do you take your burgers? Does anything about them make them Wisconsin? Are you the summer grill master of your group? Do you serve them with cheese curds? And goodness, who makes the best old fashioned? Maybe it's you. Share your secrets. 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. We'll be back with more conversation about food in Wisconsin in just a moment. We're talking foods of summer here on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Some eats evoke the best feelings of summer. You know it, that warm sun, a cool breeze where the grass is green, and time slows down a little. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. What food or drink do you need to like if you call yourself a Wisconsinite? We're taking your suggestions and, of course, your opinions. Where can you get the best cheese curds or frozen custard? What's special about your favorite? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. Dan Higgins writes about food and drink for USA Today Network Wisconsin. And Dan, you recently polled your readers on where to get the best cheese curds in all of Wisconsin. What were the results?
The Old Fashioned in Madison took the top spot. From there, it was we had a variety. There's a little place in Stevens Point that did well. Now the name, of course, is
Main Street Taps. Is that the?
That's it. That's it. Oh, my God. It's embarrassing. That was
there are so
ago.
Many
oh
places
gosh.
To get cheese curds in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked on that. Actually, Roy, I'm going to mispronounce his last. Fiona. He's done some couple of supper club books and stuff. They asked the two of us to come up with some ideas. And so there was kind of a combination of places he's been, places I've been. That we liked, and
right.
Yeah, there was among some of the top spots there, absolutely.
I mean, you travel around the state, you experience its food often, so, you know, do you try the cheese curds everywhere? What makes a good one?
I try to, yeah, because you never know when something like this is going to come up, and, like, every place has cheese curds, so, I mean, to try, you know, so I try and get as many under my belt as I possibly can. Oh, Curd Girl was the other one, Madison, also in top three. That was the second place one that just came. All right. I personally prefer the battered ones, especially if it's a little bit of a beer batter, over the breaded. That's just personal taste for me. You know, it comes down to, you know, should get a little bit of that, you know, a nice golden brown, a little bit of the crunch. You want a little bit, for me, if it's got a beer batter, you want a hint of the beer, but it shouldn't overpower. And then just kind of that right amount of salt. I think that's the real tricky part, is how salty is it, and getting that right balance on that part of it.
Sure. And temperature, that cheese should be melted and just a little
right.
bit stringy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So you can pull it and you can get that whole effect of the cheese kind of stretching out. I mean, that's always fun.
Right. And we should clarify, your poll is by no means scientific. This is not the end all be all of Wisconsin cheese curds.
We did not eat cheese curds at every at every single place in Wisconsin. So yeah, there could be little places everywhere, I'm sure. That I mean, I can't even imagine the amount of time it would take to try and
right. That sounds like
every place
a next decade worth of projects for you there. Let's go ahead and take a call here. Katrina in Grand Chute. Katrina, what are you eating this summer? What's your favorite?
Our favorite has to do with our favorite pastime, and it is camper potatoes, which you make on a grill, or and you use all potatoes and every kind of vegetable you have. You put them in small pieces and wrap them in aluminum foil and put them on the grill, and especially the carrots, and it is with a nice sized dollop of butter, and that they become so delicious. And thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, Katrina. That sounds delicious. That combination of the butter and the like slight crunch on the vegetables that are caramelizing a little bit. Campfire food, Dan. Part of Wisconsin's food culture.
Absolutely. Whether it's pudgy pies in the little things over that, or just actually this last weekend I just grabbed a hot dog and we had a little fire in our one of those little long, you know, pokey things. I don't know what the technical term is for that.
I call them pokey things. Right.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
And just turn that over. That's fun, you know, and you hear that sizzling and you kind of get that just right, and Yeah, there's something fun about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm Keely Boltina here talking with Dan Higgins. He's a food and drink reporter, and we're making our list of summer foods in Wisconsin. And we have time for your edition at 800-642-1234. Dan, speaking of that kind of outdoors experience or those ideas of summer, I think people think hot dogs, like you said, brats, burgers. You've been exploring the world of burgers this summer. Take us to Seymour, Wisconsin. I understand Seymour claims to be the home of the hamburger.
They do indeed. Yep. And if you try and suggest anything otherwise, you know, be prepared for a strong argument against any other claims to it. So every year they do their Burger Fest. That was a couple weeks ago. And they have like parade. They make like a 200-pound burger. They have, you know, it's just, and then the ketchup slide, of course, which is kind of a popular attraction.
The ketchup slide.
Slide. Yeah, it's like a slip and slide with a mixture of ketchup and water, and people slide down and they try and find the person who can slide the farthest down this mixture of ketchup and water. So
I'm comfortable claiming that as very Wisconsin. What about the burgers themselves, though? You've tried a lot of them. Is there anything that specifically makes a Wisconsin burger versus burgers elsewhere?
You know, what I found is when we asked our readers, again, fairly unscientifically, but just the classics. Stick to the classics. You know, the burger patty, more of the thick version, not like necessarily those smash versions, but, you know, a nice thick burger. Put a slice of either American cheddar cheese on there, and then it's, you know, pickles, onions, mustard, ketchup, all that kind of lettuce. You know, and if you stick to that, you're going to make people in Wisconsin very happy with their burgers, that's for sure.
You experienced a special burger this summer at Birmingham's Bar and Cottages. What makes this so different?
They actually, on Saturdays, they have homemade bread that they make following the owner's, I guess it would go back to his grandmother. His mother made it for years, but I guess the recipe goes back further than that. Recipe from for this homemade bread. And it's really a nice, dense, white, homemade bread. I mean, there's just something really great about, like, you know, homemade bread, you know. And so they put the burger patties on there on Saturdays. And she was, his mother was making that bread every Saturday up until she was almost 90, I think. They've since, you know, trained another longtime staff member to kind of take over, you know, getting that all mixed together. So, but yeah, it's wonderful. That one just kind of harkened back. I remember my growing up, my mom would now and again would make hamburgers for lunch and put them on white bread for whatever reason. So, you know, I've always had that kind of memory back there. And then when they told me about, and they're the ones who actually told me about this place, and I'm like, that's what kind of turned me onto it. But yeah, and it's been there a long time. I mean, it's just kind of tucked off the beaten path a little bit. So it's not necessarily the kind of place you're going to just come across in the normal course of where the majority of traffic goes up in Door County.
You write about Birmingham's being an old cottage. Parts of the building date to 1927. And mm-hmm. You talked to the owner of, while you were talking to the owner of Birmingham, somebody swung in and asked for a landscaping recommendation, and they got one, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the family just goes back generations, and they know the area, and that's just kind of the way he is. And he's just this really nice, easygoing guy, just everything you'd want from an owner in a small little place like that.
Yeah, your stories are certainly food stories, but they're also people stories. What can they tell us about who we are across Wisconsin?
I think food's one of those things that just kind of it unifies us in a way. This is kind of, we have a collective taste. I mean, it's diverse too, but at the same time, I think it helps with, you know, if you've had that experience of whatever it is, and to find the people behind the food part of it. I think that's usually, the food's kind of my end to kind of get to know the people or tell stories about people as much as I can. Those are the stories that I really like doing, the most is when I get to do stories like Birmingham's and I get to get some history of a place like that that's just been around for generations.
Dan, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me on again. It was great.
Dan Higgins is a food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He covers unique food and drink staples of Wisconsin culture. And one more comment quick. Cheryl from Madison couldn't stay with us. She called to suggest North of the Bayou on the east side of Madison for excellent cheese curds. We'll continue our conversation about food and as we go to the fair here on Wisconsin Weekend. Coming up, county fairs are a staple for many communities, and so we're exploring their history and their evolution. And we want to know on Wisconsin Weekend, what do you remember about the county fair? How much has one in your part of Wisconsin changed? Tell us about it. 800-642-1234. Let's talk after the news. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. You are right on time for Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. At the Price County Fair in northern Wisconsin this weekend, you can take in a competitive horse show, bands, rides, antiques, and, of course, animals. And what's a fair without a kiddie tractor pull? The Price County Fair also has you covered with a lawnmower pull. Don't worry, you could also use an ATV. What are the quirks of your local county fair? What's your favorite attraction today or from years past? Maybe you're an FFA or 4-H. What role does the county fair play for you? Have you ever shown livestock? How are you involved in your local fair? 800-642-1234 is the number to call to share your experience, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Jason Hausler is our county fair guide this morning. He's the area extension director for Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark counties. He is also a former 4-H educator in Dunn County. Jason, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, we should just put it out there. You are an unabashed proponent of the county fair. Why should families go to these fairs in Wisconsin this summer? Why do you think they're special?
They are such great community events. As we look across the state, they really take on the life of the communities that they're in. So in your opening segment, you mentioned the Price County Fair and the kiddie tractor pulls and, you know, the different things they offer. You go to, I was just in Wood County at the Central Wisconsin State Fair the other day, and they had a llama obstacle course show and kind of a different take on just your regular showing. Getting them through obstacles and that sort of thing. So they really are a great community event. They take on a life of that community. And what better way to celebrate summer? You know, hearing your last segment about food, the food at the fair, I mean, that's next to none. It's one time you get to, you know, calories are free at the fair. So
is that how that works?
In my family, that's how it is. So, yes, calories are free at the fair. Yep.
You mentioned food. Jessica tweeted at WPR Mornings to say she is not ashamed. She goes to the state fair primarily for the food. What about county fairs? I mean, is food one of these big attractions here at these more local fairs?
Yeah, and I can't speak to the level of which foods are involved. And the fair boards really take care of an ownership of that. But I can tell you that, you know, when I work with youth at the fair in my previous position as a 4-H educator, now as an area director, it's a lot of times you're interacting with youth and they say, hey, let's go get some cheese curds. Hey, let's go get a funnel cake, or, you know, there's fried pickles at that stand. And so there are sometimes the specialties that only come around, but at the fair. So, you know, we've seen an increase, at least from my experience, in food trucks, and especially food trucks that come to county fairs and local fairs. You still do, churches and other community organizations that utilize their fair food stand as a great source of revenue generation to promote their programs throughout the rest of the year. 4-H included, many county fairs have a 4-H food stand, which helps propel the work of 4-H for that next year. So the county fairs are sometimes, you get those specialty foods or those one-offs that, you know, really keep people coming back.
Yeah, and because of that local control, you don't know what you're going to get. There are all of those surprises.
Yeah, exactly. And I was talking before with somebody else about this, and the local food trucks that are popping up, and they've kind of made it from the coasts, if you will, to central Wisconsin and to Wisconsin in general. And some of the things you would never think about having at the fair, you can generally find there's something for everybody, as they say.
Excellent. Let's go to the phones now. Dan from Drummond wants to talk about fairs in Wisconsin. Dan, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you. Yeah, for me, one of the finest little community fairs is in a little town called Glidden, Wisconsin. They have, that's been going on close to 90 years, I think they told me. And they have just a great get-together. They've got, like, the glass collar set. They got food and stuff like that. And they, for the kids, they and some of the adults, they have a merry-go-round that is indoors. And they got smaller children. They got a kiddie car ride that's indoors. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful fair.
Dan, thank you for sharing that with us. It's a great example of one of those places where there is something for everybody. We're talking about county fairs across Wisconsin, community fairs too. Extension's Jason Hausler is our guide. He works with Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark counties. I'm Keely Boltina, and you can share your experience at county fairs by calling 800-642-1234. Do you volunteer? How long have you been involved with fairs? How hard is the work? Have you been prepping all year long? Email ideas@wpr.org. I want to go ahead and ask about the first county fair that you ever attended in Wisconsin, Jason. What do you remember from that experience?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Wausau in central Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Valley Fair was something that my parents took me to as a kid, and it was that special kind of function. We didn't go very often. We didn't go every year either. And so it was really a treat to go. And as I got older into my middle school years and high school years, I had friends that were showing under 4-H. And, you know, one of the things that the reason why I didn't join 4-H is my parents had the proverbial, you know, thought that 4-H is for the farm kids. And, mm-hmm. and I'm here to tell you it's not. So it's something for everybody in 4-H. And so as I got through kind of my middle school and high school years, I was going to more fairs, local fairs and that sort of thing, just to engage in a wide variety of activities that, you know, that I never had a chance to partake in as a kid. So, I watched my friend's show. They would show steers and hogs, and I got an education myself on what does it mean to be in agriculture and what 4-H was all about outside of the fair too. So
yeah, I think county fairs do evoke this idea of 4-H, FFA members, kids of all ages raising farm animals and then showing them for judging or to be purchased. You know, what are animals judged on? How does that work?
Yeah, so I don't claim to be an animal judge or a livestock judge. I'll put that out there. So being kind of a city kid that kind of has known the has come to know and understand what the people are looking for. And it really is a judge's discretion. So it is really subjective in what a certain judge is looking for. There is a process that judges go through the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to get certified as a judge. And so you have some, you know, for instance, you're looking at swine or pigs, if you will. You know, some like them long and lean, some like them shorter and stockier, and but they're looking at how they walk. They're looking at how they're carrying their weight. Is there a, you know, do they have a leg that's not you know, moving right? And so it really is genetics too. So over the course of even my experience in 4-H as an educator for the last, you know, 6-7 years, that has changed too. And what I've learned from the extension specialists working with Madison is, you know, what a hog 5 years ago that was 280 pounds would score one thing. And now that same hog with an extra 20 pounds on it, a 300-pound hog, is just as good by market standards as that other hog, you know, that was 5 years ago. So the standards in the industry are changing, and thus members, young people that are showing animals at the fair are really looking to promote a quality meat product with their animals and showcase that. And so the industry changes and showing changes with the industry.
Yeah, and as you know, the animal side of this changes, we've also seen changes in projects that members of 4-H display or things that they perform or how they compete. So how have those other activities for 4-H evolved, especially to adapt to new technologies?
Yeah, it's a great great piece. So in extension, in 4-H, we really look at kind of 21st century skills. And so part of that includes technology and STEM projects. And so the partnership that Extension has with county fairs is that opportunity for youth to showcase their work in those areas. And so an example that I'll give is, you know, 5-6 years ago, you would go to a county fair, you would see Lego projects, just the brick and mortar Lego projects under mechanical science. And, you know, it was great. The work of our young people is just extraordinary. But Lego has come out with robotics kits. And so learning how to program a robot. Robots are the future. And so what a better way to take something that kids love to do, such as Legos, and Lego made a robotics kit. So there, at the time, at our local fair in Dunn County, we did not have an opportunity or a class or lot that people could register and show their Lego robotics project. And so they're able to adapt with the times as well. So, you know, me communicating with the fair board saying, here's an emerging project in within our 4-H community. Is there an avenue that we can look at showcasing that at this year's fair? And so, yeah, they said, let's do it. Why not? And give more opportunities for more kids to participate at the fair. So we added that. There was a couple members that brought their robotics projects and program them and let them run a course, and the judge had scored them. And so it's a great way for us to continue to expand and evolve as our society and our economy changes, to bring that opportunity for young people to demonstrate their skills and abilities at the county fairs. It really is a true partnership that we in Extension do appreciate.
What's a list of those values that kids can take away from participating in 4-H, whether it's the, you know, robotics or showing animals? What do you think the game?
Yes. Yeah, so characteristics that the members take away, first of all, confidence. They have to speak in front of a judge many times and articulate what they did for a project, what they learned, what didn't go well, because you know that part of learning is failing. And so, you know, that confidence, that sense of mastery, like, hey, I've been doing woodworking for the last 5, 6, 7 years, and looking at that evolution of kind of reflective thinking of, wow, I started with a birdhouse and now I've built a dresser that I can have for the rest of my life.
Wow. Jason Hausler stays with us as we jump from one county fair to the next. What's your favorite fair to attend in Wisconsin, and how have you seen a change in recent years? There's still time to join the conversation at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. Our Wisconsin weekend travels take us to the Crawford County Fair in southwestern Wisconsin. You'll find your carnival rides here, along with a talent show, thanks to the class of 62. And don't forget about the Demolition Derby tomorrow, cars destroying cars. It's all part of county fair life. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call to share your stories about the county fair. What do you remember about it growing up? Do you still visit the same fair, or maybe it's different fairs now? How much have they changed? Let us know about it. Jason Hausler is helping us connect with the county fair. He's the area extension director for Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark counties, and a former 4-H educator in Dunn County. Let's talk about the rides. This is a big draw of county fairs, and there are lots of different midways out there. Why are they popular for families, and what do you see county fairs doing as far as rides go?
Yeah, so, you know, many times when we think of the fair, we think of the rides, or at least the kids do anyway. So that's the reason why I want to go. There are different companies that travel across the state, and I can't, you know, name all of them, but there are each company brings a different, I guess, a ride set, if you will. And so one of the pieces that I've known for many years is the wristband day, and it's generally an affordable opportunity for families that in the agrarian society that we live in, if they don't go on long vacations and they're not able to get to a Six Flags Great America or Bay Beach in Green Bay, this is an opportunity for them for one day or 2 days to get out to a county fair and enjoy the rides or have their children enjoy the rides. And many times there's wristband days or there's tickets for a quarter or whatever it is. And so generally speaking, it's a great way for some family entertainment on the cheap, if you will.
And when the sun goes down, those rides light up there. There's quite a nightlife at county fairs across Wisconsin.
Yeah, there is. And so you look at, I heard for the Crawford County Fair, the Demolition Derby and tractor pulls, after hours, you have tractor pulls that go in some of the grandstand areas. You have, sometimes there's bands that play. And so you look at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa, they had, many nights in a row, they have some nightly entertainment and just different events for the camaraderie of a community to come together and just be with each other's company and the heat of the summer.
Jason Hausler is the Area Extension Director for UW-Madison's Division of Extension, serving Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark Counties. I'm Keely Boltina. Jason, when someone pays to attend a county fair, where does that money go? Does it connect with the community in any way?
Yeah, so because I'm not a member of a fair board, I can't tell you in particular how those monies are structured, but I can tell you there's a wide range of how fairs either some fairs are still free. So the nice thing is the Merrill Fair in Lincoln County, that's a free fair. And so you pay for other things when you get in. But, the Central Wisconsin State Fair in Wood County, there's an admission. Same thing with the Wisconsin Valley Fair, et cetera. So but what they do is help kind of reinvest back into the fairgrounds. So there is maintenance and upkeep that comes with, cleaning the bathrooms, taking out the trash, traffic control, working with your local sheriff's office. Or county or community partner to do that, different things too. So when members in 4-H or FFA or scouting bring projects to the fair, they're actually, when they're judged, they're awarded a premium. And so a small dollar amount that goes with, each ribbon placing, blue, red, white, or down the line. So all the revenue that's generated, and I shouldn't say all of it, but a good chunk of that is divided into those areas. There are some counties that still receive some financial assistance from the county board through, the county budgeting process. A lot of fairs do solicit external funds via, commercial businesses or sponsors in that respect of, somebody's going to sponsor the entertainment stage, somebody's going to sponsor, the kitty tractor pull or the big tractor pull, whatever it is. So they're out there in the community. And so the payback to the community, and I talk about these as community events, depending on where you're at, I mean, there could be hotel stays that come with that. There's an influx in, your convenience store travel, people gassing up to come into the fair and actually leaving the community. You look at just the sheer volume of money that businesses, if you're a local business, or service group that's generating revenue from a food stand or some other sort of, entity at the county fair that's reinvested back into that community. And so they really can be an economic driver to some extent in those communities.
Jason, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jason Hausler is the Area Extension Director for UW-Madison's Division of Extension. He serves Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Clark Counties. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum, and she's got a story about a very unique kayak race.
Paddle Quest is part scavenger hunt, part fantasy role-playing game, and part Mardi Gras. Every August, hundreds of people converge on the backwaters of the Wisconsin River flowage in Stevens Point. Participants paddle from place to place, playing games and interacting with wizards and pirates, sirens and time travelers. Rob Menser was there for Paddle Quest's 18th year.
No one really understands it, but I kind of write it out and I kind of make sense of it. My name is Matt Kirsch, and I am the creator of Paddle Quest.
All right, questers, looking out at a very glassy Wisconsin River flowage. That is nice.
So the way Paddle Quest works is teams start from Lakeside Bar, and they paddle to different camps all along the river where the characters have stations set up that you compete and various challenges.
All right, we're gonna throw on the tunes.
What's the point of this? Why do this?
To take a break from the monotonous reality of the normal day.
Well said, man.
To explore the backwaters with your best friends.
Raddest camaraderie around.
All right. People bring a lot of creativity to this event. People dress up as characters, like a league of their own. They're champions. They were the first all-female team to win.
I'm Chamomile Nuss.
Deanna Linsmeyer.
Katie Butke.
It was about being a league of their own.
Yeah, the name really rang
really
true through us.
Is
yeah.
Basically what's happening.
You guys ready to sing the paddle song?
My paddle's keen and bright, flashing with silver, all of the world's new light, dip, dip, and swing.
Woo! Heck yeah! Perfect score this year!
My name is Ellie Jackson. There are three challenges at Siren Island. One of them is Can Jam. One person throws a frisbee and one person sort of slams the frisbee into this, like, can. But it's a team sport, and if there are two teams, yeah, they got one. It's a hard feat. Our whole goal is to keep people here forever.
Miranda Krasinski.
Brody Bruner.
And we are the...
Anomalies.
Yes, the Anomalies.
We came up with that team name 4 minutes before we registered. So
yeah. We are on Bear Island. They've got a nice mix-up of dice and blackjack for us. Where you try to roll a bunch of dice, try to get as close to 21 without busting.
Did you pass this one? Oh, yeah, because...
Yeah, the sign.
I didn't remember seeing that.
Okay, so what happened was we clearly made a wrong turn, and we ended up at Bear Island. So we made a giant circle in the wrong direction. We have lost our canoe. It was very bad.
Oh, my God, there's mosquitoes. They're just, look at them around me. They want my blood.
We somehow ended up back at the Bear Island event, at which point one of the Bear Island folks guided us back to our canoe ever so kindly.
Is that Bear Island?
And choose wisely!
Because it's so community-based and so many people come out to help me with this, all the characters and stuff, that I get kind of weepy when I think about it. Because it's just so moving that people just are come together so well.
This is like my favorite weekend of the entire year. I love to paddle, I love to play games, I love to compete, and I love to hang out with my friends.
You get so stuck in adulting, and to come to something like this, and you can, it's like summer camp. It's magic.
Totally, it's magical.
What makes some people make a living questing.
Those were the sounds and characters from Paddle Quest in Stevens Point. WPR's Rob Menser was not crowned protector of the backwaters, but he did bring us that story. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum. And I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.